Let me teach you a sign, first of all. Let's teach you the sign for ignore today. Ignore, okay? Actually, I'm going to let one of the deaf teach you. Brother Adam, teach him the sign for ignore. Ignore, right? All right, stand up. He's going to show you the sign, ignore or ignore. You can always turn your head too. You can say ignore or ignore, right? So you see something and you're going to ignore it. How many of you know people you like to ignore? All right? How many of you are the people that other people ignore? All right? And so you see that sign for ignore. It's a sign that shows distance, and you can even turn your head. You can really emphasize and say, oh, I'm going to ignore that person right there, you know, ignore. And I think without even realizing it, many of us miss out and ignore a message preached on a regular basis that we should not ignore. Although this message is a little bit different. How many be honest and say there's been a few times I've ignored your message, preacher, through the years? All right, Nicole, one person. Nicole, thank you for your honesty. All right, Nicole, I have a message just for you next Sunday. Amen, all right? And but this is not a message preached by your pastor or a guest preacher or your Sunday school teacher. It's a message preached by God. And the message begins every morning when you wake up, when you leave the state of sleep and enter the world of reality again. How many of you are those that loves to sleep? You just love sleep. Sleep is a blessing. My wife thinks sleep will still be a gift that we can do in heaven. How many of you would like to still sleep in heaven someday? And I think sleep is overrated. I know we have to have it. You could do so much more in life if you didn't have to sleep. But many people love sleep. And by the way, there's times I get so tired, even I loved sleep. When you think about it, though, just the miraculous act of waking up in the morning. Sometimes you wake up on your own. Most times you wake up to an alarm clock. How many of you use your cell phone as an alarm? Right? Nowadays they have these little soft, sweet... How many remember the old Walmart's alarm clocks? Bang, 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 bang. That's what I grew up waking up to, amen. But when you think about it, just we could just spend a whole, not just one message, but many messages on just the miracle of waking up from sleep. But from the time you wake up in the morning, God gives us things all throughout the day that are beautiful, simple truths and reminders that He's preaching to us, reminding us that He is present. And we live in a country now that has ignored God for so long that I think it's dangerous to mention this, and we're on dangerous ground today, that Christians in America are starting to ignore God's daily messages. I want to give you a few things. Number one, God gave us the gift of life. Life is a gift. Boy, I thank God I get to live this thing called life. And I'm blessed to have this life. If you look at Psalm 147 again, in Psalm 148, those chapters talk about the life of many different things. It talks about life as God gives life to the animals, as God gives life to the grass, as God gives the beast his food, as God gives life to many different things. You could go on down the list, but here's a simple fact. By the way, let me just say this. God is very pro-life. God likes life. We're surrounded by a world now that's becoming consumed with death. We hear too much about death. One of my personal friends just sent me a text message. Lieutenant Colonel Don Heichel from a state. He was with me at camp last week. One of his best friends was shot last night. He's asking me to pray for him. I mean, you just consistently hear about death and negativity. Hey, God is for life. When you woke up this morning and you rolled out of your bed, God reminded you that you have another day to live life. It's a gift. It's precious. And can I say this? I'm just going to throw this out there. The older I get, the more I appreciate life. So those of you in your 60s and 70s, you ought to be really excited today. Sometimes I read obituaries and my heart grieves every time I read about a soldier who died at 21 or 20 or 22. And I thank the Lord for giving me the extra 20 years of life that He's given to me than many of these soldiers. And sometimes we have this phrase of people become grumpy old men. Let me encourage you men that are getting older, don't get grumpy. Don't become grumpy. If you're saved, don't get grumpy. Somebody say amen right there. You say, oh, you just wait till you get to be 70. I probably won't make it to 70, but if I do, I don't want to be grumpy. Every day you wake up and you roll out of bed, God gave you the gift of life. He preached to you today. He preached to me this morning. When I woke up this morning, He said, Randy, I've given you another day of life. Are we going to ignore that sermon? Or are we going to listen? Number two, I love this one. God gives us another day of liberty. Liberty. I thank God for this one. This is a beautiful one. You can look at Psalm chapter 145, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. I mean, I could take the time to read the whole passage, but the Bible talks about how I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless and praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation shall praise thy works to another. We have been blessed to live in the generation that has been handed down by previous generations of this beautiful gift called liberty. Now, I know America is not what she used to be. And I know our freedoms and our liberties are constantly under attack. And I know we have a progressive movement and liberalism that's trying to take over this country, that's trying to take away liberty. I know small businesses are suffering with silly regulations and all that. But let's be honest today. When we woke up this morning, we had no fear of going to church. I didn't have to worry about preaching today. I have the liberty to preach. I still live in the greatest country on this planet, the United States of America. And God has blessed us with the gift of liberty. You are free to wake up this morning, free to get in your car, free to drive to church. God has given us liberty. And by the way, here's the sermon that I think many of us are starting to ignore more and more. God says, the more you ignore liberty, the less it seems we have. Christians in America have taken it for granted for so long. Why aren't we witnessing? We're still free to do that. Why aren't we giving out tracts? We're still free to do that. There's no laws passed that says you can't tell people about Jesus in America. Somebody help me. Other parts of this world, you can't do that. Other parts of this world, you'd be killed for doing that. We have the gift of liberty. And every morning when you get up, think about this. I wonder how many of you, I've done it many times before because it's just a blessing to me. I've counted as many as 9 flags, United States flags, from my house to this place when I come here in the morning. When I drive up by Walgreens, take Dix Road, get on Highway 50, drive all into the church. It was 8 for a long time. Thank God we have a 9th one right now on our own property. Somebody say amen right there. How many times do you drive by on the highway, whether it's early in the morning or late at night or in the middle of the day, you see that beautiful flag waving, you stop and pray and thank God for America. God's preaching to us a sermon that needs to be heard, and he's reminding us that America needs Christians to be the salt again and the light of the world again, and we need to thank God for that today. God, I woke up this morning, God remind all of us of this sermon of life and liberty. Number 3, I want you to look at this one. I like this one. Number 3, laughter. Laughter. I'm thankful today. Many of my preacher friends that are in their 40s are already on blood pressure medication. I mean, they're taking all kinds of medication. They've had many knee surgeries. They have joint pain all the time. And I'll tell my wife the other day, and I know maybe my day's coming, but at 40, I feel great. I feel really good. I feel better at 40 than I did at 30. I really do. And it hit me one day when I was thinking about this. I love to laugh. The problem in America is we don't laugh anymore. Laugh. It's okay to laugh. And by the way, it's okay to be laughed at. I'm laughed at all the time. Last Friday, we were driving back from camp, and we stopped at a restaurant, and I guess the waitress messed up my order at first. She brought it to my table, and I guess, I never complained, but my facial expression showed that I was not pleased with it, and my daughters laughed for 5 minutes at their dad. Last Tuesday at camp, big 6'2", 250-plus-pound preacher was fighting wasps and running away like a girl screaming, ah! And my daughters didn't stand there and say, hey, Dad, we'll kill him for you. They were laughing at me. They were laughing at their big daddy running away from wasps like, ah! Listen, hey, life's too short to not laugh. Proverbs says this, 17 verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hey, you don't need a lot of prescriptions that they're giving out today. If you'll just go to the prescription closet that God has, God will give you a big dose of laughter. It's time to laugh again in America. Amen. Too many Americans spend time looking for a reason to be offended. Why don't we laugh about stuff? Look, this world's a funny world. My wife and I went on a date last night. I took her real quick by the mall. She had to pick up something at the mall. I sat on a bench waiting for her for a long time. And I watched people. And people are funny. People make me laugh. Some of you people make me laugh. Some of you I can laugh at right now. Some of you are laughing at me right now. It's okay. I'm a big boy. This whole concept, look, let me help kids, teenagers. You know how to stop a bully? Laugh at them. I'm serious. This whole bullying craze in America, laugh at them. You know, before I got big, I was a little chubby kid in the schoolyard. Now I'm just a big chubby kid. But these kids would pick on me in the schoolyard, and I don't know where I learned it. I just look at them and say, do you feel better? Hey, guys, he is so insecure with himself, he has to pick on me. Do you feel better now that you've picked on me? Do you feel better? Hey, everybody, do you feel better? Look, it's all about you right now. You picking on me because you obviously have some insecurity. Man, it was fun to do that. Next thing you know, the bully was backing away, getting laughed. Sometimes he pounded me, and that was I deserved it. But sometimes you just turn the tables and laugh at life. You'll be all right. Church, listen, every day we should find a reason to laugh. And I'm talking about a belly laugh. Last week, one of the youth pastors, there was a 390-pound man who literally redefined belly laugh. Every time he laughed, the whole tabernacle could hear him. All right, Brill and Randa, you guys heard Brother John earlier laugh. Me and him went to college together. Talented pianist. Unbelievable pianist. Stephanie, you know who John Early is, don't you, Brother Travis? Incredible gifted man. Laughs, just loves life. His wife's a laugher. His two teenage daughters are laughers. They love life. You know what I love about that man? He didn't walk around grumpy all day. Why? Because he learned that the gift of laughter is a beautiful gift God gives to us. There's lots of reasons to laugh. Every time Hillary speaks, I laugh. Because I've never seen hot air on TV. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to laugh. Laugh, church. Oftentimes in my house, I have four kids. And yes, they're preacher's kids. So they're demon-possessed. And they have a lot of wars in my house. And a lot of interesting fights. Sometimes my wife will say, babe, break it up. No, not yet. No, this is too much fun and entertaining. I like watching this fight. World War III is breaking out of my house, and the three girls are ganging up on my boy, and he's reaching for hair and pulling hair, and I'm like, yeah, woo, go, go, go. I mean, it's awesome. When I finally see blood, I stop the fight. Somebody say amen right there. Look, church, listen, America has gotten so, so PC. We're so easily offended at this joke and that joke, and I can't believe you said this. Well, I said it. Get over it. Laugh again in America. Every day God gives you reason to laugh. Some of us, it's when you first look in the mirror in the morning. That's a good reason right there. I look in the mirror and laugh. Wow. There's no hope for this guy. See in the mirror right there. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, church, laugh. A merry heart doeth good like what? Medicine. Laughing is medicinal. It benefits you. It'll change your life. Laugh. God's preaching at us every day. Number one. God preaches to us that we have life. Number two, liberty. Number three, laughter. Number four, I love this one, light. Light. Boy, I love light. You ever thought about this, Brother Travis? The first thing God ever said when he spoke was about the subject of light. Light. Light was the first thing God ever talked about when we first heard the voice of God in the Bible. Look at Psalm 148, verses 1 through 3. We read this a while ago, but it's worth reading again. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 3. It says this, it says, praise you, the Lord. Praise you, Lord, from the heavens. Praise him in the height. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. God's saying, praise him and the light, the stars, the moon and the sun. God's mentioning those things. And by the way, Christians, every day when we wake up to a planet with this gift called the sun. We've taken it for granted. You understand that if the sun goes away, we will not live much longer. The sun is our energy source. The sun is a beautiful thing. Most people get excited when the sun is out. We don't like when the sun goes away. But the sun's so powerful, even on a cloudy day, you see better than you do at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because God gave us the gift of light. And every time you wake up in the morning and it's no more night, it's a reminder that it's a new day and it's new mercies and it's a new opportunity to live in this land of liberty, to look for a reason to laugh. God gives us light every day. I love light. By the way, Jesus called Christians the light of the world. That's what he called you and me. The light of the world. And the reason why it's so dark today, I've told you this many times before, what is darkness? The absence of light. Church, it's time to bring light back. Bring light back to your homes, your families, the church, your workplace. Bring the light of God everywhere you go. And when God wakes us up in the morning, and we stretch our arms, and you open the blinds or pull up the shade like we do in our bedroom, and the sun comes shining through, God's reminding you, it's a new day to live. It's a new day of forgiveness. It's a new day of mercy. It's a new day to try again. It's a new day to help somebody. It's a new day to appreciate the blessings of God. And God's preaching at us all day. He preaches at us because we have life. He preaches at us with liberty. He preaches us when we get an opportunity to laugh. And now he gives us light. Wow, what a good God we serve today. Problem is, I ignore that sermon a lot, more than I want to admit. Number five, I want you to look at this one. I'm just about through. Number five, we'll close with this one. Love. Love. Love is a gift from God. And if you are loved by somebody, how many of you know somebody loves you today? Raise your hand. Somebody loves you, know that. How many of you love somebody today? Raise your hand. That's God preaching at you, that you got it pretty good. Last Thursday, at the camp I was preaching at, I had a real touching scene happen to me. My wife saw it, and boy, she walked away. She said she wished she could have a picture, but it really moved my wife too. Monday, I got a phone call on the way to camp from a youth pastor who's not going to be there. He called me and said, "Hey, Brother Randy, this week one of my teens is going. I'm not going to be able to be there, but his name's AJ. He's a mixed-race kid. He's tall. He's 17 years old. He's from Brooklyn, New York, but he's in Alabama right now. But he's actually been shot. Sorry, but there you go, Brother Travis. He's from Alabama. I better make sure not to mention that state again, amen. He's from Alabama now. He's going back to Brooklyn. This kid's actually been shot by the police before. Survived. Messed up home life. Well, I didn't want to go right up to him on Monday night and say, "Hey, AJ, your youth pastor told me about you. You got problems. You want to talk?" I'm not going to do that. But I met him. I played basketball the one evening or one afternoon, and we began to be friends. Thursday morning, I preached on Calvary. I preached on the cross. And after I was through preaching, kids were shaking my hands, and I was thinking, I walked to the back of the tabernacle there. And this young man walked up to me, and he looked at me, and I could tell he wanted to see me, this AJ boy. And I said, "You need something?" And he said, "Thank you." And he just literally fell in my arms and started crying on my shoulder. Just cried and cried. We hugged each other, and he cried and he cried and he cried and he cried. And I pushed him away from me, and I said, "You got a tough life, don't you?" And he said, "Yes," and fell right back on my shoulder and just cried and cried and cried. I'm so glad I was able to look at that boy, AJ, even though I've only known him for 4 days, and say, "AJ, I love you." You know what that young boy, that tough kid from the ghettos of Brooklyn said to this preacher? "I love you too, Brother Randy." We exchanged cell phone numbers. We're going to stay in touch. I want to try to encourage him. But it made me think how blessed I am to experience the hearing those three beautiful words, "I love you." I've heard it from four children regularly. I hear it from my wife all the time. Some of you church members tell me that. Some of you text that to me. What a blessing it is. Listen, every day when somebody says they love you, God's preaching at you about the power of love. He's reminding you of John 3:16, which never gets old. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We're living in a country now where a religion that only preaches hate, hate, hate is taking the spotlight. And our own president is afraid to call it by its name. Hey, Christians, it's time to rise. Hatred is the absence of what? Love. If darkness is the absence of light, then hate is the absence of love. And Christians today, we've been given the love of God. It's an unconditional love. It's a perfect love. It's a peaceful love. It's a wonderful love. And I thank God for his love. And for you and me to be able to tell each other we love you, praise God for that. Every time you hear "I love you," every time you say "I love you," God's preaching and reminding you about his love. And he's doing the same thing for me. The problem is we ignore that sermon a lot. Well, it makes me feel awkward to say "I love you" to somebody. Do you love them? Yes. Then get over your awkward self. If you don't love somebody, don't tell them. There's some people I ain't going to say that to. I pray for them, but I ain't going to tell them that. But if I love somebody, I'm not afraid to tell them. That's just awkward. Well, get over your awkward self. Somebody say amen right there. This generation of men that was taught not to say "I love you," it's time to outgrow that generation. One of the things I love about deaf culture, they don't even say "bye." Here's how they say "bye." How do you say "bye"? Look at that. They shake their hand, "I love you." That's how they say "bye." Deaf people love each. This culture could teach this culture a lot about love. They could. Because they've learned the power of love is precious. Many of them grew up in homes where they didn't have good communication. Many of them weren't told I love you by their parents like they should have been. So they come to church like this and they find love. And boy, they get blessed by love. I love these people and they love me back. I thank God for you all. Love is a beautiful gift and God preaches as it is every time somebody says I love you. But are we listening or are we ignoring it? The sermon, we all ignore. The preacher is God. How long is it? Well, it's from wake up till bedtime. And all day long he preaches that you have life. And all day long he preaches you still have liberty. And all day long he preaches you to find a reason to laugh. And all day long he preaches at you to thank God for the light and to be the light. And finally, all day long he preaches at you to love and be loved. How are we doing with that sermon? When God gives the invitation at night before we go to bed, do we respond or do we ignore it? Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well today.
down to set this prisoner free. You took my hand and said, come, walk with me. I remember the day you called my name. From that day forward, I've never been the same. I stand amazed in the presence of your love. I stand amazed that you came down from above. I can't believe that one day I will be in the presence of my Father and for all eternity. Present.